Disc 3.
Chapter 10. The three Baudelaire orphans and the two Quagmire triplets sat in the orphan's shack, which had never looked less unpleasant than it did now. All five children were wearing the noisy shoes Violet had invented, so the territorial crabs were nowhere to be seen. The salt had dried up the dripping tan fungus into a hard beige crust that was not particularly attractive, but at least did not plop drops of fungus juice on the youngsters. Because the arrival of Coach Genghis had focused their energies on defeating his treachery, the five orphans hadn't done anything about the green walls with the pink hearts on them. But otherwise the orphan shack had become quite a bit less mountainous and quite a bit more molehilly since the Baudelaire's arrival. It still had a long way to go to be attractive and comfortable living quarters, but for thinking of a plan, it would do in a pinch. And the Baudelaire children were certainly in a pinch. If Violet, Klaus, and Sunny spent one more exhausting night running laps, they would flunk their comprehensive exams and secretarial assignment. And then Coach Genghis would whisk them away from Prufrock Prep, and as they thought of this, they could almost feel Genghis's bony fingers pinching the life right out of them. The Quagmire triplets were so worried about their friends that they felt pinched as well, even though they were not directly in danger. Or so they thought, anyway. "I can't believe we didn't figure out Coach Genghis's plan earlier," Isadora said mournfully, paging through her notebook. "Duncan and I did all this research, and we still didn't figure it out." "Don't feel badly," Klaus said. "My sisters and I have had many encounters with Olaf, and it's always difficult to figure out his scheme."
"We were trying to find out the history of Count Olaf," Duncan said. "The Prufrock Preparatory Library has a pretty good collection of old newspapers, and we thought if we could find out some of his other schemes, we might figure out this one."
"That's a good idea," Klaus said thoughtfully. "I've never tried that."
"We figured that Olaf must have been an evil man even before he met you," Duncan continued, "so we looked up things in old newspapers. But it was difficult to find too many articles, because as you know, he always uses a different name. But we found a person matching his description in the Bangkok Gazette, who was arrested for strangling a bishop but escaped from prison in just 10 minutes.
"That sounds like him, all right," Klaus said.
"And then in the Verona Daily News," Duncan said, "there was a man who had thrown a rich widow off of a cliff. He had a tattoo of an eye on his ankle, but he had eluded authorities. And then we found a newspaper from your hometown that said..."
"I don't mean to interrupt," Isadora said, "but we'd better stop thinking about the past and start thinking about the present. Lunchtime is more than half over, and we desperately need a plan."
"You're not napping, are you?" Klaus asked Violet, who had been silent for a very long time.
"Of course I'm not napping," Violet replied. "I'm concentrating. I think I can invent something to make all those staples Sunny needs, but I can't figure out how I can invent the device and study for the test at the same time. Since S-O-R-E began, I haven't taken good notes in Mr. Romora's class, so I won't be able to remember his stories."
"Well, you don't have to worry about that," Duncan said, holding up his dark green notebook. "I've written down every one of Mr. Romora's stories. Every boring detail is recorded here in my notebook. And I've written down how long, wide, and deep all of Mrs. Bass's objects are," Isadora said, holding up her own notebook. "You can study from my notebook, Klaus, and Violet can study from Duncan's."
"Thank you," Klaus said, "but you're forgetting something. We're supposed to be running laps this evening. We don't have time to read anybody's notebook."
"Tarkor," Sunny said, which meant,
"You're right, of course. S-O-R-E always lasts until dawn, and the tests are first thing in the morning."
"If only we had one of the world's great inventors to help us," Violet said. "I wonder what Nikola Tesla would do."
"Or one of the world's great journalists," Duncan said. "I wonder what Dorothy Parker would do in this situation."
"And I wonder what Hammurabi, the ancient Babylonian, would do to help us," Klaus said. "He was one of the world's greatest researchers."
"Or the great poet Lord Byron," Isadora said.
"Shark," Sunny said, rubbing her teeth thoughtfully.
"Who knows what any of those people, or fish, would do in our shoes," Violet said. "It's impossible to know."